We're continuing with the Netivot Shalom and Parshat Chukat. And the Netivot Shalom had explained that this idea that Am Yisrael was complaining when they had it all is going in line with the Chet of the serpent, who also bites people even though he has it all. He's not hungry, and yet he is still lethal. וזהו שאמר הקדוש ברוך הוא למשה שיעשה נחש הנחושת והיה כל הנשוך והביט אל נחש הנחושת וחי. And that's what Hashem said to Moshe. Make a copper snake, and whoever gets bitten should look at the copper snake and live. כי בחטא זה אין אדם מכיר בחטאו. Because this is one area where a person doesn't even appreciate he's done something wrong. So he's second guessing God. So I think life should be different. שלכאורה לא עשה מאומה. At first glance, a person thinks, I didn't do anything. So I'm dissatisfied with life. What's wrong with that? Of course I'm dissatisfied with life. Life stinks. Ask me, I'll tell you. I'll tell you all my problems. Sure, life stinks. I'm right. And a person doesn't feel like he's doing anything wrong. And yet, Netivot Shalom said, it is the most pivotal sin a person can do. But he doesn't feel it. That's why Hashem made it that in order to be cured, a person has to look up at the copper snake. When a person looks up, looks at the snake, what he's really doing is he's looking up and recognizing, hey, what I did was severe, it matters. This idea that I'm displeased with the way God runs the world is problematic. Yoel?
Yes.
I am thrilled that you are here. And I would be even more thrilled if you would shift a little bit so the camera...
Okay, I didn't know.
It's a broad angle.
So they were catching? I don't know.
Okay, then I'll sit next to the rug.
Excellent. Okay. Fantastic. So, the Netivot Shalom says that Hashem purposely made it that a person would have to look up to the snake, and this would help a person recognize that this feeling of dissatisfaction with the way Hashem runs the world is a problem. And that takes action, meaning there are certain sins, as the Gemara says and as the Rambam records, that a person doesn't even realize he's done anything wrong. A person looks improperly. A person looks and he looks lustfully at... He doesn't even think I did something wrong. What did I do? I was just looking.
Because
it's not maaseh. Because we tell ourselves, what did I do wrong? The person allows his mind to wander. He says, what did I do wrong? He lets the computer screen wander. What did I do wrong? No. That's why the Rambam says it's hard to do tshuva on those things. Because we don't even internalize the idea that we did anything wrong. So over here too, the people were sinning. They were... feeling dissatisfied with God. They were approaching life with an attitude of, things should be different. And they were vocalizing their dissatisfaction with God. And so in order to help them rectify that, Hashem made it that they were bitten. And they weren't cured until they would look up and look at that snake, and then they'd realize, hey, wait a second, I did just like the snake. What I did was wrong. To have everything good and still be dissatisfied, to have what I need and come and complain, so I have to learn from that.
Can I question? I was reading something today that there was a problem, not a problem, but that he made the snake to be the cure, knowing that down the road on this way they were going to worship a snake, and yet still did it. Used it as a cure at that point, knowing that it would be used as Avodah Zarah down the line.
So you're asking, why did Hashem do that?
Well, why did Moshe...
Moshe didn't have a choice. He did what Hashem said.
Okay, so why would Hashem then use it as... And that's even a sharper question. If Hashem knew, and obviously did know, that they would come to worship it, is that all about Zerah? Why would he use that?
So I'm tempted to answer you the way Rav Pesin Zatzal would answer us. I don't answer why questions. I'm happy if I know what and when, but why is beyond me. The truth is there's more to be said, but let's first finish the Netivot Shalom and then we'll see. ורק אשר הביט בכוונה והכיר בחטאו ושבר לבבו ושיבדו לאביו שבשמיים, and only when a person would look up with intent, recognize his sin, and subdue his heart to his Father in heaven, אז נתקבלה תשובתו וחי. Then his tshuva was accepted and he would live. אבל ללא והביט אינו מכיר כלל שזה חטא. But if a person would not look, he wouldn't recognize the sin. So, if the idea of the snake was to get us to realize that the way Hashem is running the world is right, even if I'm displeased with it, then in truth, there was every reason in the world to assume it would not lead to idol worship. Right? Because the whole point of this is, when I look at that and realize that he's running the world, then I get cured. So then, it's the furthest thing from idol worship.
But they extrapolated and they began worshiping the snake, and so it ran the world.
Okay, so you see, there's always the capacity to go down the wrong road. But there was the capacity to do that with Moshe Rabbeinu's body. There was the capacity to do it with Yaakov Avinu's body. There was the capacity to do it with Maris HaMachpelah in the Kotel. ונשמחה פרשה זו למיטת אהרון, כי אהרון היה אוהב שלום ורודף שלום אוהב את הבריות. Why is this parasha brought directly adjacent to the story of Aaron's passing? Because Aaron's trait was that he loved peace. He pursued peace. He loved God's creatures. Shemida zo mevi'a le'avat Hashem. Loving peace and Hashem's creatures brings a person to the love of Hashem. Kima'amal tzadikim, she'avat Yisrael yisgula le'avat Hashem. Tzadikim say, you want an amulet to loving Hashem? Love his people. Love Am Yisrael, that'll lead you to loving Hashem. V'chol yimei chayei Aaron she'aya be'em avat Yisrael ve'avat Hashem, lo hegiu lidei kach, ela hayu merutzim b'hanagat ha'boreh. And so long as Aaron was alive, Aaron's love for Klal Yisrael propelled Am Yisrael forward, and you never found them sinning this way. Because when you have a person who exudes such love, so then people feel connected to Hashem, and they never reach that point of dissatisfaction with Hashem. The kasher yesh li yudi avat Hashem. When a person has the love of Hashem, kol ma shakadosh baruch hu usei imo, watov yotov bishvilo. Then whatever Hashem does, he feels is the best. And you guys will see this in marriage. You'll see it with your children. When you're in a relationship where you deeply love the other person, so when they make you the coffee and forget to put in the milk or forget to put in the sugar, you don't say anything. Doesn't matter. It's perfect. And you're not just saying that, but you have to be there. So when Aaron was alive, they were there. And so whatever Hashem did, it's fine. When Aaron passes, so all of Am Yisrael is a step further from Hashem. Aval mishemet Aaron menitla mehem avat Yisrael, when Aaron passed away, so that unity, that warmth that they had for one another was taken from them, nital gam avat Hashem. So then the love of Hashem also took a step back. And they fell with this sin that they were dissatisfied with the way Hashem was guiding them. And that is the lesson that the Torah is teaching us in this parsha. That a Jew should accept the will of Hashem, the same way we find Avraham Avinu accepted the will of Hashem. שרוב הניסיונות היו להודיע כמה חיבתו שקיבל את רצון השם באהבה ובשמחה. As he explained earlier, the majority of Avram's tests revolved around attitude. They were things that were beyond his control. He had no control whether there would be a famine, whether his wife would be abducted, whether he would be taken into captivity. There were many things that were beyond his control. But the test was, does he love? Is he willing to accept the way Hashem runs the world, even though he doesn't understand? Asher dvar zeh yakar b'enei Hashem. That's what's precious in the eyes of Hashem. So the parasha is teaching us our role in all that. V'ayetzer hara mitgaber b'yoter b'inyan zeh. And this is an area where the Yetzer Hara really takes a strong hold. Sheyudi lo yiyeh merutzeh me'anagat ha'boreh. That a Jew should be dissatisfied. should live his life with questions. Why? Why did I go to Mr. Adapnim and they told me to come again? Why did I fill out the forms and it didn't work out? Why did the bank tell me I didn't give them the forms when I did? Why did I submit a picture? I get a letter and it's a form letter. It blew me away. We're sorry, we didn't receive your picture. Please submit it again. I gave it to them. So I went and I called a friend of mine and told me how to fill out the form. He said, yeah, it's a form letter. They make you bring the picture the first time. They make you bring it the second time. It's a form letter. You ask yourself, what's going on? They asked me. I brought the picture. I know I gave them a picture. I saw them staple it to my form. So what do they have? A form letter to tell me your picture got lost, come back and submit it again? You ask yourself, what's going on here? So I have to kill a whole morning to go to Mishad HaPnim, give them the form again? Oh, so we live life with frustrations. The question is, do we take it that next level and say, Rabon Shom, I don't like the way you run the world. And the Yetzer Hara is gnawing at us time and again to bring a person to a point where, God forbid, his heart is divided from the omnipotent. And the Pasuk does spell out when the parsha begins that people got tired as they were traveling this long journey. The Torah is giving us a point in Am Yisrael's favor. They were tired because they were on a long journey. They got really worn down by the long journey. That's why they were complaining.
Did you say three times derech? Three times the journey?
He said it.
אכן
התורה מלמדת לנו שאפילו כאשר יש סיבה גורמת שאינם מרוצים. So the Torah is teaching us that even when there's a cause, there's a reason why we're dissatisfied. Bechol zot gadol achet meod. Nonetheless, it is a grave sin. Ki tachlit ratzon Hashem hu, shiyudi yikabel ratzon Hashem yichshehu. Because the essence of Hashem's will is that we should accept Hashem's will as is. Vafilu bet vatikzar nefsham badarech lo yeh libcha chaluk al hamakom. And even at a time when a person's really worn down, it's been a long journey, his heart should not be divided with the omnipresent. That's the message of the parsha. It's a beautiful, beautiful thought that Tivot Shalom told us here. It's one of the most relevant things that apply day in and day out. We have to contend with annoying things and things that you say, life could have been perfect without this. What do I need this for? And we don't have an answer. Avraham Avinu didn't either have an answer. And we have to deal with it. No one's asking us. Now get up and deal. And sometimes we're tired. And sometimes we're hungry. Sometimes it's been a long journey. And we feel like saying, God, are we there yet? Are we there yet? How about now? And we don't see when we're going to get there. And even so, that's the great message of the parasha. That when we have the love of Hashem, when we have the love of our fellow man, which leads us to the love of Hashem, then we will find we can connect, even though we don't understand, and even though it's hard. And when Aaron HaKohen passes away, and we find ourselves a little more distant, suddenly we have that tremendous challenge, that gnawing feeling of, why does this have to happen to me? Did I tell you guys the story about when I visited prison?
You
okay.
No,
so.
No.
A few years ago, I went to visit someone in prison. And when you go to visit in prison, so they purposely make you wait in a hot room. They sit in their air-conditioned rooms, and the visitors, they make you wait. They tell you they're going to let you in at 10 in the morning, and they make you wait till 12, and they yell at you every so often for anything they could find the reason to yell. They do everything to make your life miserable. They let you walk down these. You walk down one corridor, they lock you in that corridor, and they say, we'll pass you to the next part of the security in a few minutes, and you stand there sweltering in the heat with all the kids and everything, and they do these things to mentally break you down. It's okay, I'm there, and after going through a whole expedition to get there, there's a guy sitting next to me who traveled the night before, slept on a park bench, you remember this story? Slept on a park bench to be able to go into the prison to visit one of the inmates. So he really invested a whole night. You know, he traveled all the way down from Tzfat, slept on a park bench, a respectable guy. He couldn't afford a hotel, but he did what he could. And it's the middle of the summer. And finally, it's our turn to let us in. So they let us in. And one of the people decided to be a wise aleck. And in the diaper bag, they stuck in a few sweets together with the diapers so that they could slip in a few sweets to the inmate. And lo and behold, it shows up on the security scan. And they say, oh boy, you've been trying to smuggle something into the inmate. Forget the visit. The visit's canceled. So of course, I try to slip by so they shouldn't realize that I'm also there to visit that inmate. And they lock the doors. And half the group got in. They didn't realize it. Half the group stayed out. So now we're sitting in the sweltering room, waiting for another few hours till they finish their visit and they let him out through all these chambers. And we didn't even get to see the guy. And they give him visiting hours like once a month. This is a high security prison. So I'm sitting there with this guy next to me. He traveled down from Tzfat. And we're both glaring at the person who's like, what'd you have to be wise, Alex, for? You risked all of our visit, and now this poor fellow isn't getting get a visit. So we didn't say anything. It was like, okay, fine, you know, we all do stupid things in life. But we felt really bad. And then this tzaddik sitting next to me from Tzfat walks over to me and calls over the person who tried to slip in the sweets in the diaper bag and says, I want to tell you, Rav Nachman from Breslov said, everything Hashem does is for good. And you know what? He was talking about us here now. And if Rav Nachman from Breslov came to the world just to tell us now here where we are today that it's all for good, we don't know why, but it must be for good, so it was worth his coming to the world. So put on a smile, and there's going to be a tomorrow, and that's it. This is our lot for today. So I was so impressed. The guy he had traveled so much, sat in the sweltering heat, slept in the sweltering heat, and now he didn't get anything for it. It would take another month before he could have visiting day again. And that was the smile he put on his face. And I think that was the embodiment of this idea. There are things that are beyond my control. I have no explanation. There's nothing I can do about it. But I'm going to have to deal with it now. Yeah, but I can deal with it with a smile. So I don't have all the answers. So he's paying a price for something he didn't do. And it didn't have to be that way because some of the group got in. Okay. We don't have answers, but we could still smile.